Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
I keep forgetting we're not in love anymore. I keep forgetting things will never be the same again. I keep forgetting how you made it so clear. Shout out to Michael McDonald.
I knew that was him because it's like you were even putting on your Michael McDonald voice. I was like, that sounds like Michael
Every
McDonald.
Every time you're near, and I'm down until I see your smile.
That's so funny because you put a
made it so clear.
Every time I think about Michael McDonald, I think of the movie 40-year-old version. When they played a Michael McDonald the same song every day, and Paul Rudd's character was like, if I hear "Come on, baby, Yama be there," I'm gonna Yama blow by. Like, yeah, it was so funny because every day it was like, "Come on, baby, Yama be there."
Shout out to Michael McDonald.
Shout out to Michael McDonald, and shout out to
you
us.
Are that guy. Yes.
We are back. We Watch Too Much TV, season 5, episode 4. And we're back from our Thanksgiving holiday break. How are you, best friend? How was your Thanksgiving?
Stuffed and full. I am officially known as a family cook now. I was never a bad cook, but I was never a cook. I was the girl who bought the liquor. I was the girl who cleaned up, but
right.
I was determined to kind of change my narrative and my family. And so I've been practicing a lot, like on my own with like friends and like tasting my meals. But this Thanksgiving, I made 3 meals. My ziti was, it was okay. I found out what I want to change, but my macaroni and cheese passed the test. My grandmother, who is, shout out to you, grandma. You ain't going to listen to this. You don't know what a podcast is. But she said, you are really becoming a really good cook. And that made my 2024.
That's it. That's it.
Okay. That's and it. When the matriarch of your family said that you can actually cook, I think my cousin was a little jealous that my mac and cheese was a little better. But it's okay. Here goes on a drama. Here goes on a drama. You know, I've been practicing. So I am a chef now. Hire me for all of your parties. How was your Thanksgiving? How was Marley's first Thanksgiving?
First Thanksgiving was beautiful. We went to Mark's cousin's. I made lasagna. And as many times as I have made lasagna and it was slamming, it was a miss.
Sometimes that happens. Like, I feel like
of all times, Thanksgiving, really? Like, come on now. But my
brother. Nobody ate it?
No.
Maybe that was my ziti. All right, best friend. Maybe we should make a pact.
Nobody ate your ziti?
Not as much as they ate my mac and cheese. My mac and cheese was
right. Gone. The mac and cheese was hitting, but the ziti was like.
The ziti was like.
It was sitting over there silent by itself.
Mad cold.
Like my lasagna. I make good lasagna. I just did it on Thanksgiving. Like, I don't know. I probably just had too much going on. Also, like
when you want the pressure, sometimes you want it to be good.
No, and then when we got there, I had made mine the night before, my lasagna and my Brussels sprouts. And so then when we got there, we needed to warm it up. And then they left it in the oven too long. So the Brussels sprouts was like a perfect texture when I had made them, but from them leaving it in there for too long, they were just so soggy. I was like, this is not how they were when they came out. So it was a miss for me, but honestly, I do cook better when it's fresh. Like the other year, previous year, this was the first year me and Mark have cooked and went to someone's house. Typically we're either cooking and eating it ourselves or just going somewhere and just showing up with the liquor. So, you know, you live and you learn, like you said, but it was also our first Thanksgiving as parents. I had us with our matching shirts. Mark was the Papa Turkey. I was the Mama Turkey. And Marley had her shirt we were all wearing brown shirts. And Marley's onesie said, my first Thanksgiving, or her little cute little orange pants with white polka dots. And we took pictures and it was just a really nice day. I was drinking because, you know, last Thanksgiving I wasn't drinking and I hadn't even like told anybody I was pregnant other than Mark. So it was just a really quiet, quaint Thanksgiving at home. of being sober. So it was nice to be back and active with having my wine, with my food. The food was kicking. It helped me not need to cook these past couple of nights.
Yes.
And now my parents are arriving out here in LA tomorrow. So, and my mom's gonna cook a big dinner this weekend, so I won't have to cook again. So I'm happy.
Blessings. You're gonna have good meals. She's
Yes.
gonna pack that. One thing about Drazen Mama, she's gonna pack that fridge,
Oh.
okay?
Oh yes.
I
Oh
know you're
yes.
excited.
And it's good because we're also starting baby Marley on solids.
Woo!
He's
Get my
starting.
girl some mac and cheese. Get my girl some mac
Not you
and
can't do that much so
cheese.
soon. You gotta keep it as a plain ass vegetable, nothing added, and you gotta puree the shit out of it. Until like as they get a little like when they start to get some teeth, then you could have give them like a little chunkier, like where you're just hand mixing it, but you still got to keep it, you know, it's she can't have the fun stuff for a bit, but we're going to start her. I'm going to get a carrot and a sweet potato, and those will be the first vegetables, and then you got to check to see if there's any allergic reaction. So they recommend just giving her the same vegetable once a day for like 3 days to see how her body reacts to it before introducing the next vegetable. And then they say start with vegetables first, because of course if you start them on fruits, they're gonna like the fruits and then they won't want to try the vegetables. So starting her with some vegetables, and then we'll introduce some fruits probably like next week. So yeah, it's so
I'm
exciting. Now I'm
excited
gonna have
for
to.
her. You better get that food, girl.
I know, right? It's going so
It's
fast. But
going so
yeah, in the
fast.
meantime, in between time, she is still taking this breast and the milk. And her formula. She just wants the milk. Give me the milk. But yes. All right. Everyone, don't forget to like and subscribe to our podcast on whatever streaming platform that you listen to it on. And follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. TEA, the letter V, TV.
Yes, listen to it in your car, watch on YouTube, and press
Yeah.
those notification buttons so you know when we have a new post out. There's a lot of TV on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I squeeze it in. It's so funny. I was watching Love and Marriage Huntsville. I was trying to catch up on it last night, and Marley, when she looks at the TV and it's not her cartoons, like she just be like giving it the crazy side eye, like, and it was hilarious because at the point it was like I think Martell talking about some bullshit. So it looked like I was about to record it and tag Carlos King because it really looked like she was just like, nigga, please. Too funny, but yes, there's a lot of good TV out right now. Movies coming out. I heard Gladiator 2 is really good and it's doing really well in the theater. I haven't seen it yet, but I definitely want to. And then Moana 2, and then of course Wicked, which I also heard is good.
Yes, me and mommy are gonna go see it. We're gonna have a mom and daughter date and we're gonna go see Wicked together. I wanna see Gladiator 2, but I gotta go see Gladiator 1. Okay. You are not Cynthia.
Sorry, I just, you know, it just compels you. Sorry. My bad. Okay. Well, on that note, let's get into our weekly grab. Okay, best friend.
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on this. Okay, so first on my weekly grab, speaking of Mr. Michael McDonald, is my new favorite documentary that I actually probably gonna watch two more times. It is called Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock, a documentary, but they call spelled docu DOCK as a play on like yacht and docking. It's
All
the
right.
history of Yacht Rock and how it came to be. So a little like backstory. One of my homegirls, I call her my big sister Kiana. She sent me a playlist one day. Like I was at her house with her boyfriend when she lived in DC, and that they just had like the smoothest songs. And I was like, well, what is this? And her boyfriend, who's a white guy, he was like, oh, it's my Yacht Rock playlist. I said, what the hell is Yacht Rock? So he sent it to me. It's on Spotify, like 200 songs. And I promise you, when I want to mellow out and I just want to relax, it is my favorite playlist. But I didn't really know the history of Yacht Rock. So leave it up to HBO Max to do a
Kingdom Come.
documentary on it to talk about the origin of what Yacht Rock is. So it's not metal, but it's not jazz. It's like a soft rock with a very melodic R&B and funk influences. It is something that you can groove to. You can't really bust a move to it, but you can do a nice 1-2 step. They talked about how from the 70s to the 80s, everything was yacht rock and how instrumental it was. The king of yacht rock is, of course, Mr. Michael McDonald, also Kenny
I was
Loggins.
honestly thinking, I was like, it's giving me Michael McDonald vibes. Is he on the playlist? And he is.
Oh, he's mostly on the playlist. His
Y'all be there.
song. He used to be a part of a group called the Doobie Brothers. And their
That's right.
song, What a Fool Believes, is literally like the
The
yacht
Yacht
rock
Rock
song.
anthem.
Yes. So if you ever want to know if a song is yacht rock, they compare it to What a Fool Believes. They literally have like a yacht rock meter. Cause it's like, yeah, it's called yacht or not, but it's spelled not with like an N in front of yacht. Cause a lot of people think that they're like Hall & Oates is not yacht rock. Steely Dan, not yacht rock. And a lot of black people were in yacht rock. Like George Benson was considered
Wait,
a yacht rocker.
Hall and Oates isn't Yacht Rock?
No, because they were more rock influenced and less jazz R&B inspired. They had a lot of R&B, but there's just a whole like
Oh.
level of grading that people say like this is a yacht rock and this is like it's
Okay.
insane how they grade it, but it gives you the history of it. It really started with like Michael McDonald, the Doobie Brothers, kind of having that same like chill vibe to their songs. It got really big with Kenny Loggins and then Kenny Loggins and Michael McDonald working together on a lot of songs. Toto made it really good. Georgie Porgy by Eric Benet was originally done by Toto, and that was like at the peak yacht rock stage. They also had like Christopher Cross, a lot of white names that a lot of people might not understand.
Right.
But what I loved about the documentary was, one, I'm a music person, so I just love learning the history of it. Two, I loved how they were influenced by a lot of funk, a lot of R&B, a lot of Earth, Wind and Fire, a lot of Stevie Wonder. It was regular rock, but then Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins was like, we used to listen to Stevie, we used to listen to Earth, Wind and Fire. And so their rock got more melodic. I also liked how they inspired Michael Jackson to kind of get into his bag because a lot of the people who were in the yacht rock phase were hit writers from his music Thriller. Like Human Nature is a yacht rock song.
Right. Ooh, okay.
So Human Nature is an example of a yacht rock song. And then they talk about how what killed like the peak of yacht rock was actually MTV because all of these people who do this, they're not video people, they're not actors, they're not
Right.
even the cutest guy, but they're really good performers. And so they talk about how MTV kind of like video killed the radio star literally. And then the resurgence, thanks to hip hop. Warren G, Regulator, of course, sampled Michael McDonald. They talk about one of De La Soul's records that sampled a Doobie Brothers song, how Eric Benet did over Georgie Porgy from Toto. And Questlove was like a lot of the best hip hop songs sample yacht rock. And that's how they knew it was a different genre. But it was just a cute, fun documentary, very lighthearted. And talked about how it got big in the 2000s was because these, when YouTube first came out, these internet comedians, they started doing spoofs of like the real singers and what they thought it was like for them creating these hits. So it was just a feel good documentary, an
Yeah.
hour watch, very cool. And after this, I'm going to listen to yacht rock when I get in the
Yeah.
shower.
I feel like if we had Yacht Rock today, it would be like Solange. Who else would you say is
It
Yacht
would be
Rock?
like a smooth, like it has to be smooth, but also like can't be like a maybe like a Snow Allegra, maybe
Yeah,
like a
yeah.
smooth. You don't like you kind of wanna, but it has a little bit more up tempo. I can't even think. We're gonna get to it, but there's a
That's
yacht
why
rock.
I said, I don't know. I'm thinking Solange. That's what her music gives me. It's not
Yeah.
because you can't really dance to it. Like, you really got to just sit there and kind of just vibe to it.
It's nothing where you can actually dance. But if you guys want
So
a
if it
yacht
was
rock
a black yacht, it would be
thing,
Solange. For black.
Yes. And then they have a lot of black, like George Benson was Al Jarreau. The Earth and the Fire has some Yacht Rock songs, but Yacht Rock is that guy, that
Steve
girl.
Lacy.
Yes, he would be Yacht Rock. Oh, and Thundercat. Thundercat did
Thundercat, for
a
sure.
song with Kenny Loggins and Michael McDonald, which is one of my favorite songs. Oh, the comic book.
Y'all be there.
Quincy Jones has some Yacht Rock songs. So
Of
like,
course he did. He has every
yeah.
song in the and R.I.P. to Quincy Jones.
Such
King.
a guy.
The
Every time I think
king.
about it, it's just the
Yes.
king. But yeah, if you want something nice to watch, something like chill, just something upbeat, definitely watch Yacht Rock, a documentary, DOCK. Okay.
Not
West
D,
first.
not the other vowel in between D C K. It's DOCK.
BK. It's
All
a
right.
documentary. Yeah.
Well, on that note, it's time for Christmas. Bells will be ringing. Sweet, sweet, sweet Christmas.
Y'all, I can't.
So, I'm going to be randomly singing Christmas jingles throughout the show because it's Christmas time, it's my birthday month, and it's the best. Yay! Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you
Yes.
threw it
Yes, you did.
away. This year, fair cheer, I gave it to someone
That was
that
bad. Yeah.
Shout out to George Michael, RIP to him too. Okay.
Rest in peace.
Yes. First on my weekly grab is The Wizards of Baking. So this show is all things Harry Potter and all things baking. So it just really can't get any better than that, right? Am I
Those are your two
right?
favorite things, literally.
Hello. So it's giving fans of the Harry Potter franchise and bakers a chance to show off their skills as a team. And challenges that tie into the Harry Potter film series. So this is like really high-end baking. Like there's honestly no other baking show out there like this. Like the first challenge, they had to make a cake that was reflective of their favorite thing about the movies. So some pe bakers made a Patronus charm cake. Another made a cake in homage to Luna Lovegood, or the first film of the Sorcerer's Stone. So these cakes are massive, they're huge, they're having a magic element to it. It's hosted by the Weasley twins, James and Oliver Phelps, and the standards are really high. Like there were people that I thought were going to make it to the next round and they got sent home for the most minuscule reasons, and I'm like, damn. And once they get to the next round, they earn a ticket on the Hogwarts Express to the next challenge, where it's something else that's even more than the last one. Even though it's really challenging, it's really fun, it's lighthearted, it's nostalgic, and it's delicious. And because I watch so many baking shows, I am starting to notice bakers from other competition shows on the show. And I'm just like, I'm watching this shit too damn much. Even the judge, what's her name? The really fashionable black lady. She's just like
Carla
the
Hall, I love
Carla
her.
Hall, my girl, Carla
Oh.
Hall. Yes. So really love it. Wizards of Baking, it is on Max and it's amazing. I love it, love it, love it. So there's no complaints. Not one. Oh, and then they even started this new thing. It's called the spell where you have to freeze someone. So one team gets the power to freeze the other teams for 10 minutes, where only one member of their team can do the baking while the other is forced to have to watch. And it really could just F them up. So it gets really dicey, I'll say that. But it's all in the love of Harry Potter. And then also they have guest appearances by some of the cast. So the girl who played Luna Lovegood comes. You have Warwick Davis, the tiny person that he played. He's the only person who played three different roles in the Harry Potter films. And you also might know him as the Leprechaun in the horror movies. So it's just really dope. So if you love Harry Potter, if you love baking, if you love Harry Potter, or if you love baking, because if you don't love Harry Potter, but you love baking, you should still check it out because you'll really like this show. And if you like cooking competition shows, you also like the show. So check out The Wizards of Baking on HBO Max.
I'm so sorry, y'all. I've never seen anything Harry Potter, so I don't know
I
how
and I don't know
it
why
sounds
she's
like
li
a great.
I don't know why she's like that, y'all, because honestly, we know Harry Potter has been out for over 20 years. We know that it's amazing. We know that it is a classic. And I just feel like Tanea just, wants to just close her heart off to the magic and the beauty of Harry Potter. Like, I mean, in all the 20 years, you haven't watched one freaking movie, Tanea?
Oh, in 2025 for your birthday this year, best friend, I will watch it.
Whatever.
I will watch one Harry Potter. I'm not reading them in the
Whatever.
books, but I can do one because I think they have the whole thing on that. So I can do one.
Whatever. Anyways, what's next on your weekly grad transcript?
Next on my weekly grab is a new comedy show on Netflix called Man on the Inside, which stars my guy, everyone's favorite granddad, Ted Danson.
Dancing. Oh, yes, I put that on my list of things to watch.
Oh, you would love it. So it's based on a true story of basically a widowed dad, older guy. He was a d granddad. His wife had just passed away. He was bored one day and he looked in the newspaper and he saw something that said like assistant. And he ended up being like a private investigator on the inside, helping like this PI with jobs. So in the show, his wife just passed away. His daughter moved with her kids and her husband. And the daughter's like, we need you to do something. He sees something in the newspaper. And because he knows how to work a phone, he's hired. So he goes in, old retirement home as one of the clients, but he's actually undercover trying to figure out who stole one of the other clients' necklaces. It's a rich woman and her necklace is missing. The son's like, who took my mom's necklace? Hires a private investigator. It is so funny because we all know older people in our life. So it's funny how relative it is. It's also so heartwarming because one thing that they say that stuck with me in the show is that old people, the number one thing that they die from is loneliness. It's
Yeah.
not heart attack, it's not falling, it's from like not having anyone. So it's just a really, really sweet show of how he started this to get a hobby, but he actually made friends in his 80s. He made
Oh.
friends with people at the home. He did things he never would do before. He was able to kind of really talk about and grieve his wife, but it's also hilarious because you see him like take his like private eye thing so seriously. So they set it up perfectly for season two. I'm pretty sure because it's top 10, they will have a season two, but I think you would love the show. It's funny, but it's also lighthearted and it's heartwarming. It's gonna make you call your grandparents if you have them. I just spent Thanksgiving with my grandma, a couple days with her. It's just really funny that they talk about a subject like this, but then you see how he actually is a really good detective. And they
Yeah.
ended up figuring out what happened. I don't want to give too much away, but if you need something
And
lighthearted,
how long is each
funny,
episode?
it's eight episodes, like 20, 30 minutes. So it's a quick watch.
Oh.
I finished it in like a day, like or two, like finished it passively, but it was also really good. Really quick watch. I can definitely tell they're gonna get a season two. And then Ted Danson is just like so lovable, so
Oh, I
heartwarming,
love
so
Ted Danson. I've loved him since Made in America with Whoopi Goldberg, Nia Long, and Will Smith. So,
Right? He's just one of our unproblematic heroes. So shout out to
yes.
you, Ted Danson. It's
Shout out to
just a
Ted Danson.
really funny, nice, sweet show. And it's a quick watch. So I think if it's on your list, you would like that show a lot.
Yeah, I watched the trailer for it and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it. Right now, I'm still watching Cobra Kai season six. Thank you.
So
Yeah. Thank you, Cobra Kai. Yes.
yes, girl. Now, what's next on your grab?
Next on my weekly grab is one of my favorite shows, and I'm so happy that it's back. It is The Sex Lives of College Girls season three on Max. So, season three, sorry, the baby is here, as you can hear her. She's in the background. Season three is just as funny, emo, and college nostalgic as the previous two seasons. We're following Kimberly as she makes up with Whitney after their fallout over Kanan, because if you could remember, season two ended because Whitney caught Kimberly kissing Kanan, and she asked Kimberly about it, like, oh, what did you do last night? And Kimberly was like, oh, nothing. So she caught her in a lie. So they're not speaking, but you know, Bella and Layton are still hanging out with Whitney and also with Kimberly, but they're not speaking. So it's like they're split and they're hanging out with each of them separately. And they're like, Kimberly, you got to make up with Whitney. So we're seeing Kimberly try in her own corny way to get Whitney back on her good side. Bella is trying to redeem herself after failing her freshman year and betraying the Foxy Club. And if you can remember, she ended the season two where she was going to transfer out of the school. But then we learned this season that she failed so poorly in her freshman year that she can't even transfer out of the school. She has to stay and try to get her grades up before she could try to transfer. So she's still in the school. And then Layton, played by Renee Rapp, right? As we all know, she decided she doesn't want to be on the show anymore. So the storyline they gave her is that she's transferring schools because she wants to take more advanced math classes that they don't have at that school. So she and her the girlfriend she's dating is moving to Boston anyway. So she wants to follow the girlfriend. So she transferred to a school in Boston so they could be together. But in
Good
real
thing they didn't
life,
kill her off. I hate when they do that, when they
yeah, oh
kill
my God, why would they do that? Hell no. But it's also very realistic. You know, Tanea knows, like she was in college. You can have a really close friend your freshman year, and then they're like, okay, I'm leaving. And
Peace out.
then they just transfer out of the school. And it's like, damn, I thought we had something. So that's what you're seeing. And in a way, I don't know. I'm wondering because it's only been two episodes so far. But it seems like they already put her replacement in the show, which is this new UK Brit girl who is also blonde, also a lesbian, and literally has the same exact haircut as Leighton. So we'll see. But the new season, there's new hot guys. Like there's this cute, really cute black boy who's super wealthy and he's trying to get at Whitney. But she's like, no, I don't date rich boys. And he played the shit out of her in front of his friends. And she just felt stupid. But now you're kind of seeing them just work on a friendship. So I could kind of see them becoming a thing later in the future. Kimberly and Kanan decided that they're better off as friends. They couldn't even in get intimate with each other because they're just so used to being friends. And Bella, it seems like she toned down because I know she was in her hot girl era last season, just having sex with everybody. But we'll see. There's still just new hot guys and sexual tension. Oh, Kimberly is dating a bisexual guy who is really cute. And when she was going to try to talk to him at a party, she saw him all booed up with a guy. But it turns out he likes girls and guys, and she doesn't care. So it looks like they're going to try to explore something. I'm really sad to see Leighton go. And they've really had a good thing going, but I do understand following your passions. So, season three, Sex Lives of College Girls. If you haven't already, you need to watch this show. It's such a good show. I love it so much. So shout out to what's her name? You know her name, Tanea.
Mindy Kaling.
Mindy Kaling, girl, you got you one. It's such a good show.
It make you miss college?
It does. It actually makes me even no, I'm glad I didn't go to one of those super white PWI, but it's still like because their college campus is nice. I'm like, damn, my college campus did not look nothing like that. But it does make me, yes, it totally makes me miss college for real. It does.
All right, Secret Lies. Let's go back.
Let's go back to college. Well, Tanea, you could do that for us right now. You go to back to college for us. Go.
I'ma go dorm and tell you
Yes,
what
go
it's
dorm.
like.
I got a baby now. I can't be there with a baby. What would you
Hey, I
think?
feel like we had people in school that had infants, but they weren't on campus,
They were
so
now on campus. Nope, that would have to be me. And it's like, if you're not on campus, what you doing? Anyways, what's last on your weekly grab?
okay, so last on my weekly grab is not a new show. It's not a show that you can just turn on and watch unless you have Roku and you have live TV. But it is something that I've been watching, and I've been watching it almost every day. You hear my baby in the background, Dino, my dog. The babies are on the podcast
Yes,
today.
the babies are on the pod.
The babies are making an appearance. But my last on my weekly grab is Supermarket Sweep.
Oh my gosh, the classic.
Listen, from about 19, I think 89 to 1995, if you know, especially if you're a millennial, There was a game show on called Supermarket Sweep that was hosted by Mr. David Ruprecht. This nice kind of like, he was cringy the first two seasons, but I feel like they gave him feedback so he could calm down the last couple seasons. But basically, they take three pairs of two people, they answer a whole bunch of questions, and then they run around the supermarket to try to get the most money, and whatever pair wins, and they compete for the $5,000. I cannot explain to you the joy the show has brought me. It is on, there is a Supermarket Sweep channel. So that's all they play.
Goodness.
So, yes, I've been watching these new things, but I also fall to sleep with Supermarket Sweep on.
Balance. Balance. Not
Valid.
you falling
I
asleep to
love
Supermarket
watching.
Sweep.
Oh my God, it was one episode where the guy, where you know they have like the three items you have to buy for $250. The guy only had about 2 minutes. He spent the whole 2 minutes looking for these three items and only got, didn't get all three and only put one thing in his cart. His total was $7. I said
Wait,
$7.
that reminds me of like 3 weeks ago. So me and Mark watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, and we like to watch them every night and compete on like who gets the most to write. So one night, this was like 3 weeks ago, it was like military week. There was a guy on, and I'll give him that. He was a veteran. So he was on here. He was on Wheel of Fortune, and I don't know. I don't know if he was just there 'cause for the vibes, but it was like basically the whole puzzle would be up there. So let's say the puzzle is have a good night, and all the letters are up there except O, and it's like it's clear as day. This is have a good night, and he would be like, "I'll spin," and then he'll spin, and he'll be like X, and it's like what? What? What are you doing? Why would you say X? And he literally did that the whole time. This man went home with no money.
Oh my God.
So that's just like the person who spent 2 minutes and only had one little thing in their cart. You know, you just never know. Some people are just there for the vibes, you know, or I think they just get so nervous.
Yeah. And then it's just like, there's so many, a lot of black couples don't do great. Whenever I do get like a nice black couple, I love it. And I also would love, I'm going to put this out there. We the Supermarket Sweep documentary, because I bet 99.9% of those people were actually couples. There were a lot of people who were like, oh, we're friends. Oh,
Right.
we're we work together. It was one couple that went viral and they found them and they was like, oh yeah, no, we were boyfriends, but we couldn't say that in the 90s. So they were business partners and they're still together. They're married and everything. And they won the $5,000, but they were like, yeah, no, we couldn't say we were boyfriends in 1990, but yeah, we're
Love the show
boyfriends, we're together.
so much. It just gives me anxiety.
Yes, it's so nostalgic. It's so fun, especially when when they ask you to guess things and you're playing like the scramble game at home. And so I would love for them to bring it back again, but I know Miss Leslie tried. I didn't like the changes. I really didn't like the changes, but I would be so open to them bringing the show back again. With
Yeah, keep
just
it the
sticking to the
same.
plot,
Yeah,
sticking to
but
the
you don't, there was
actual.
nothing that needed to change. It's a classic show. You got a certain amount of time to find the items, and that's what you gotta do. Just stick to
Yeah,
that. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So.
exactly. But if you have Roku TV and they have a
Oh, I will
live
be
TV
watching it.
version, it's free, and literally all they do all day is play Supermarket Sweep.
I can't
So.
wait till Mark is like done working so we could watch it, because I know that's a good, like it was always a good show, and it'll be good for him and I to watch it together because we like watching stuff like that. Because you'll
Oh
be
my God, I
screaming at the
love
TV,
it.
like, "What are you
Like, oh, I can't. Oh my God, you have to send me video of y'all watching it because that's what I be doing all the time. And he'll be looking at me like, you bugging. No, but I'm like, you know, that's spaghetti. Or when they say the dumbest, it'd be like apple pie and they'd be like, Rupert, what the heck? Like, some of the, or sometimes when it's not fair and like one team is so good that
Oh
like
yeah.
nobody gets a point. I'm like, yeah, I know this wasn't fair. Or when they, or when they run in to get the $5,000 and they're so stuck, and so they spend most of the time just like running in
I
circles.
know those ones would kill me. Would kill me. And then you got
They're
the
like, we
guy
gotta find
at the
it. We
end, he
gotta find
walks in like the $5,000 was actually right here. Like, no.
Or I saw one yesterday where literally the guy was just too slow. He was in front of it, and then he waited, and then. David was like, we can't give it to you because you found it, but like you didn't put your hand on the money before the bell rung.
Horrible.
Yes, but that'll be a tea throwback supermarket sweep
Tea
on
throwback.
Roku channel or
Supermarket
YouTube.
sweep.
Yes.
I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bell. Oh, I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. I love those J-I-N-G-L-E-B-E double L-S-O. Yes, I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Okay.
At Christmas.
Shout out to Frank Sinatra, RIP to the king.
Okay.
Last time my weekly grab is holiday baking championship. So I'm in full-fledged Christmas mode, full-fledged baking mode, and they do the baking championships for everything. They do spring's baking championship, they do summer baking championship, and now they do Halloween baking championship. And it's the holidays. So this is the holiday baking championship. So you have the usual judges. What's her name again, Tanea? Carla Hall, and
Yes, Queen Carla Hall. She was
Queen
on a
Carla Hall.
yeah. That's how she became.
What'd you say?
She was a past Top Chef contestant.
She's amazing. I have to watch
Yes.
that season of Top Chef.
It was like season three, very
Oh,
early. She
damn.
was the
Damn.
top three,
So
top four in the
this is
game.
baking challenges with Christmas and Thanksgiving holiday in mind. So bakers have to design, they have to have design skills, structuring skills, flavor, and time management. And so we've seen them in the early episodes. They've made Thanksgiving pies with 3D toppers. So it was like a regular Thanksgiving pie, but they had to have a 3D element on top. They had to make Thanksgiving cupcakes for the kids' table, which was a cute challenge where you were seeing them design cupcakes that would be appealing to kids, but also flavorful and match the Thanksgiving vibe. And then they made Christmas cheese balls, cookies. The latest one was Lambeth cakes, which are like Victorian-esque three-level cakes with weird colors. They had were given weird color schemes, but remember it's still Christmas, so they have to like make it have a Christmas feel to it. And some people would kind of do that or not or miss it by just making their cake maybe look too spring-like or just not like Christmas.
And these are home cooks or these are professional, like professional
A
cooks?
mix, a mix. So,
Okay.
there's one girl who she's still in the competition going strong and she's a home cook. But then you have others that they do work at bakeries and and are own their own bakeries. So it's a mix. But you can don't count out the home chefs because you've seen home chefs do really well in these competitions. So yes, holiday baking championship and Carla Hall, she's the queen, her fashion, I love it. It's a happy show. It brings on the holiday spirit, and it also gives you ideas for holiday desserts or just inspiration to enhance your next baking adventure.
Have you tried any of the recipes yet?
Not their recipe, but I have one that I'm about to make tomorrow. Pecan cookies, butter pecan cookies. Mark really loves pecan pie. I don't like pecan pie, but I like cookies, so I have this recipe to incorporate the cookies. The pecans into the cookies, which we both love cookies, and so we'll see how that goes. But I think it should be fine. It's just cookies. I'm starting off simple, you know? It's just
Do
cookies.
you find that watching all these holiday shows make you want to bake more? Especially like
Yes.
Christmas stuff?
Yes. I'm in my domestic era. So they make me want to bake. They make me at least have ideas. They make me hungry, so I always have to make sure that I'm like well fed, because I will just go into the kitchen and start to rate it. Right, Papa? Okay. Yes. So we got through the weekly grab. Okay.
What show you want to talk about, Marley? You could
What
talk
you
about
do? What
Rainbow.
she has started Doc McStuffins.
Oh, I love Doc McStuffins. I
Oh,
love Doc
who's this?
McStuffins.
She started Doc McStuffins. She does. I could tell that she likes it. And then there's this new one we found on YouTube called Hatchimals.
Hatchables.
Hatchimals, like animals, but hatch animals or something like that. Out.
Yeah, well, when I leave Nino, when I go to work, he watches Sesame Street or Bluey. I actually put on cartoons for him.
Cute.
He likes Bluey and he likes Sesame Street. So it calms him down. So shout
Speaking
out
of
to Ops.
calm, speaking of calm, we gotta calm this baby down. And on that note, let's get into our piss poor performance.
We need an ASMR episode.
Yeah. What? Who's on your piss for, best friend?
Okay, so my piss poor is like a real piss poor, but not like a super real piss poor. And it goes to the writer's room of Grey's Anatomy. If you guys know, I have watched all 21 seasons. I was a late bloomer to the Grey's Anatomy Club. I think over COVID, I finished the first 15, but now I'm caught up. I have seen every episode of Grey's Anatomy, the good, the bad, the ugly. In this last kind of mid-season finale, they put one of my favorite new characters in a traumatic ass experience, Mr. Lucas Shepherd. I don't think that's his last name. Basically, the Shepherd family, Derek Shepherd or McDreamy, he passed away. His sister, Amelia, she didn't have a baby born without a brain. And then she was on drugs. And then the grandfather killed. This family been through too damn much, okay?
Hey.
Okay, they've been through too much in these 21 seasons of this show. And so you see the last episode. He is going to get ice. It's a heat wave in Seattle. He's with another doctor who is pregnant, and they put him in the same traumatic episode that his grandfather was in, and that's how his grandfather lost his life. His grandfather was a store owner, and somebody came, robbed him, and they got shot. So they left it at the Lucas getting basically shot, and it was a cliffhanger. Stop putting the Shepherd family through some crap. You didn't have to shoot him,
Are they
okay?
black?
No, well, he is black. He's in the show, his father's Bajan and his mother's white. So I think they really did this to kind of introduce his family because you do know that Derek Shepherd had three sisters. Amelia is still on one. Derek has left the show or he passed away. So one of the two sisters, I think, they kind of did that so that they can bring them onto the show. However, this family don't deserve no more tragedy, Grey's Anatomy. They don't need no more
Right.
shooting. They don't need no more deaths. They done lost so many people. And I'm like, at least let him like leave as the hero. But they left where he got shot in the store robbery, just like his grandfather and his
Oh
uncle
my
was
goodness.
there and watched it get shot. So I just want justice for the Shepherd family. They don't need
Me
no more
too.
damn time. Y'all could have brought the mothers back for just a random visit or a pop-up. But to shoot him, I think they did that because they want to bring whichever one played. Because they say his mother is a shepherd, but they don't say which one. They just talk about his mother being Amelia's sister and Derek's sister. So I do think they wanted to do this for a storyline, but can y'all stop shooting my favorite characters? Can y'all leave the Shepherd family alone? So many of them have died since 2000 or 1999, whenever the show came out.
That's
So
what
can y'all
should happen.
please stop? 21 years, the Shepherds need a break. So that is my piss poor. Whoever decided to shoot Lucas in the convenience store.
Oh my God, that sounds traumatic.
It's a great show, but I'm sad that they did that. Who's on your piss poor?
Piss Poor goes to, after I gave them a yes a few weeks ago, but it is the Real Housewives of New York for that stint they pulled, faking a pregnancy storyline just for, I don't know, shits and giggles. Rebecca Minkoff, you was already on my I don't know list because I was saying you was boring. And so now the only thing you kind of had was this possibility that you was pregnant and didn't know who the daddy was. Come to find out, that was all just, it was all a lie. It was all a lie, and you did it just for nothing. And it's like, honestly, so far they have given us nothing this season. So that little stint disappointed me so much. I didn't even watch the episode where they admitted that it was fake because I already saw it on Twitter, and I was just like, until I see a clip that's making me reeling me back in, I'm gonna put y'all on pause. I'm gonna give
Yeah,
y'all.
because why? Because I don't, and Rebecca was in on it. I thought that this was Brandon and Aaron came up with on their own, but the fact that Rebecca knew, I'm like, oh, this is kind of trash.
Yeah, this is corny. So they're on my pause list. Dorinda Medley, you're on pause. And yeah, I'm just not feeling that at all. Like, that's just low. And it's like, you guys are already, I'm debating with people about why I think to give y'all a chance. And then you pull a stunt like that. It's just like, you make it hard for those of us that are trying to root for y'all. That was just corny. So for that, you get my piss poor. But on that note, let's get into who we're actually rooting for with our yes segment. Okay, best friend, who you got?
My yes goes to all of the beautiful men and women on Netflix's new show, Later Daters. It is basically a show where they take a relationship coach, not a matchmaker, but she's just a relationship coach. And she specializes in people over 50 who are looking to either get back in the dating scene or to restart their love life. Some are widowers and they just focused on their kids and now they're starting over. Some just kind of thought that it was over for them and now they're trying to explore it. But when I say it is the sweetest, most heartwarming show, one, it gives everybody hope. That even if you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, and you feel like it's over for you, you do not know because there is a woman who really finds a match and she's 65. It's also produced by my favorite family, the Obamas. It's just a beautiful, feel-good show. I love the diversity in it. I love the message in it. Like, dating is hard no matter how old you are. But also, like, to not lose hope, to not give up, and to stick true to like your non-negotiables. This one lady, she loves college football, and if the date doesn't like college football, her team, she's like, I don't know. I don't know if I can date him
Listen,
because he's not a
period.
Bama. And the thing she's, it was this really nice guy. She's like, he's nice, but he don't watch Bama football, and I love my Bama football, so I
Oh
don't
my
know. I
God.
don't know. She's beautiful and like such a young, like active 63-year-old mom. Her daughter picks her up from every date because if she has one glass of wine, she doesn't drink, which I love. So her daughter gets to see her on these dates. And then one date, girl, the black guy had to embarrass our community. He's gonna tell the woman he likes his women with a little ghetto in them.
Oh
And then told this beautiful black queen to get a 6'13" blonde wig.
no. Oh my God.
He
I
said, all
mean,
you.
they are old, so you never know what's gonna come out their mouth.
He said, she was like, are you single? He's like, yeah, I date around here. He said, but I fuck around in Atlanta. And then she was like, excuse me? He was like, I date around. And she was like, I don't think he thought that I heard him. But my good sis called that Uber and
Yeah,
left
good.
early. And I said, you know what that inspired me to do? If a date is bad, I'm leaving.
Right.
Okay.
Just
This
yes.
said, she went to the bathroom. She came out. She's like, you know what? I just called my Uber. Have a good night. She did it so
Oh,
classy. He
she
was like,
let them know. Oh, I
yes. She
Tanaya, one
was so
time
classy.
I went on a double date with our old friend Ashley, and we both wasn't feeling our dates, and so we told them we were going to the bathroom and we left. And they have never seen us since. Never seen us since. That was about
And so fun. I'm inspired by their stories. I'm inspired about most of them just wanting to date again.
Yeah.
Feel good show. Like it just made me feel good about the dating life and like not giving up and how like you can find love at any age, no matter what. So shout out to Later Daters. And when I get married at 65, best friend, just be ready. Just be
Later
ready.
daters.
Who's your yes of the week?
My yes is going to Mary Cosby on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City for sharing the intervention she had with her son, Robert Jr. It was so touching. It was the most real moment ever in Real Housewives history. It brought me to tears, and I'm sure anybody else who watched it, we see her really get her son to open up and admit that he has an addiction to opioid pills, to Adderall and Xanax and Molly. And he tells her that he's thought of taking his life, and the only reason he doesn't is because of her. And you just see her completely break down, but just profess her love to her son and tell him how important he is to her, how he's her favorite person, how he's made her life better and made her happier. And the love, honestly, that she has for him is what's keeping him afloat, he admits. But, it's also just seeing that bond between a mother and their son, and just anyone that you've loved, or if you've been in a situation where you have known someone who might be struggling with addiction, it's just so relatable. And it's not something that we've seen covered by a housewife before. I don't think it's the
Right.
first time that a housewife has dealt with a child or a family member who has an addiction, but it's the first time we're seeing them really tackle it on camera. And so I really commend Mary Cosby for that. And just anyone who really relates to that on a deeper personal level, I really, really hope it motivates you to talk to someone and just try to go get some help, because life is so beautiful. There's so many things that are worth holding on to. So I'm happy that, Mary was able to report that her son has since gone to rehab. And it was really nice to see, because you were seeing the signs of it, like that earlier scene in the season with the son and the girlfriend just being in bed, eating burgers, and they just, the way they're
Oh my God,
talking.
they both look so bad. Like they just need
Yeah, like the way they were talking, it was clear that they were on something. So it was just a matter of getting him to admit it. And that's a first step and a big first step. And so now he's actually in treatment. So that's beautiful. So shout out to Mary. I have never seen a scene more real on a housewife show. So that just it really touched me. And as much as she's probably annoyed you in the past, she gets all my respect from here on because of that scene. So shout out to Mary Cosby on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. She gets my yes for the week.
Yeah, I've been like I'm up caught up with this season, and I will say this season she's been a breath of fresh air. One, because Mary is hilarious, but she also is real and authentic. And I think I was telling you this earlier, but you can see the other ladies, they notice a change, but you also just never know what nobody's going through because they kept saying Mary's being different and something is going on and she's not acting like herself. Long behold, the person that means the most to her and her life is going through a life or death struggle. So shout out to you, Mary. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for opening your house. Thank you for being a lot of people, like you said, go through that and they don't share that. So I'm just really proud that she did that. I'm so proud of Mary and proud of you too, Robert Jr. Okay. We're gonna pray for
Yes.
you.
Really, really proud of Robert Jr. because that just takes a lot. Because he allowed it. He was like, all right, yeah, let's do it. We can have this conversation on camera. And it just means a lot because it's really going to touch a lot of people. So shout out to both of them. And on that note, one, like and subscribe, y'all. We see we talk about everything. We done talked about Supermarket Sweep. We done talked about
Harry
Yacht
Potter
Rock,
baking shows.
the Harry Potter and the Bacon Show, and just intervention. So a little all of that. Like and subscribe. Follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That's TEA with the letter V. And leave a review. Let us know. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you want to suggest. And on that note, let's get into some positivity.
You gotta always end it on a good note.
Yeah. So what's your positive quote?
Do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, do better. By Soror Maya Angelou.
Ooh, that's right. Mine is actually from a person this week. I did find it on Pinterest, but it's from a person.
You found it on your favorite place, but it is from
Course.
somebody.
It's an affirmation to read slowly and feel deeply. I am in peace. No matter what is happening around me, I know that there is peace within me. I am not rushed. I am not behind. I know that things will come together in perfect timing. I give and do my best with the task in front of me without thinking about any others. I allow myself moments of stillness to hear my soul and align with my center. I am in peace by Nikki Banas. And her Instagram is at Walk the Earth Writer. Okay.
Well, that
Yes. See, Pinterest.
was
Give a
beautiful.
boo. All right, best friend, what is our closing slogan as we close out this week of returning to work from being thankful?
Ooh, yes. Love, abundance, and hair bundles. Hope you got some on sale for Cyber Monday or Black Friday. You shouldn't have paid full price because everybody got a sale.
Yeah, I will admit, I really did good. I didn't buy anything for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, except Savage Fenty had 50% off, and I couldn't let it pass. I was like, okay, let me get this because your stuff be a little pricey anyway, so it's half off. Boop, boop.
I did get her beauty stuff. I did go to Sephora and I hit the club up one time. The Fenty Beauty, so she has a really good lip balm that works on my little lippy lips. So shout out to me.
I wanted to, yeah, you know what? That just reminded me. So I did an interview with Lisa Milan of Real Housewives of Dubai, the former show that has now been put on pause indefinitely. But I did an interview with her over the summer and we were talking about, you know, postpartum, and she sent me like a postpartum kit from her Mina Rowe line. And, you know, it's taken me some time to dig into it, but I did. And okay, that shit is good. All that stuff they was talking, all that crap they was talking on the show, it doesn't matter. Her products are actually quality products. The lip balm is so rich. It smells beautiful and it really moisturizes your lips. Then she sent me this belly oil that you could use if you're pregnant or even postpartum to prevent stretch marks from coming if you're pregnant or if you have stretch marks and you're trying to get rid of them. Then there's also, like, you know how they have the facial mask that you put on your face for a facial? She has those for your belly while you're pregnant. So to just kind of moisturize the skin, because, you know, your skin is stretching. It's going through so many different things. And I've never seen anything like that before. So I put them on hold because I definitely want to have one more baby. I put those in little storage because I was like, I'm gonna hold on to these. But it's really nice that she really has this whole line just dedicated to mothers in their journey. And she was telling me how she continued to enhance the line as she progressed in her journey as a mother, because, you know, she has three.
And so thoughtful too. So thoughtful.
Yes. So shout out to Lisa Milan and her maternity care line, Mina Rowe, spelled Minaroe. And bravo. Why the hell did you put that show on pause? And it's like, listen, I'm over here trying to watch the Housewives of Orange County reunion just to see what I missed. And I'm like, oh gosh. I mean, I don't know. I'm up to part two. Maybe it's going to pick up, but I'm just like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I just watched the reviews on TikTok and I just started watching Beverly Hills only because I just want to see the demise of Kyle.
But I am liking the new Bows.
I love Bows. Bows. I like her. Girl. Bowles is that girl. She is a quintessential. I feel like they've been doing better with the newer housewives. Like,
yes,
some of the newer ones have been doing like very good in terms of like being a housewife, like not just
right
trying to be one, like actually being that bitch. So shout out to Bowles. You're that
shout
girl,
out to
girl.
Them. All right, and now we'll actually close our show. We forgot.
Sorry, this is what happens. We're two best friends.
All right. Love abundance and hair bundles. See y'all next week.
Bye.